Hello, and welcome to Quick Charge. I'm Mikey G, and it's Tuesday, August 15th. Tesla has launched two new versions of the Model S and X. They're bringing back the standard range with shorter ranges and cheaper prices. Tesla has offered a variety of sizes of battery packs throughout the years, but since the Model S and X refresh in 2021, they've only offered the long-range and plaid versions until now. The new standard range Model S is listed for 320 miles of range, which is 85 miles lower than the long-range version and costs $10,000 less, now starting at $78,490. Likewise, the Model X is now $10,000 for the cheapest option, which has 269 miles of range, 79 fewer than the long-range version. This is all well and good. Offering another option to buyers is quite nice, but some find it inefficient since the vehicles carry around the same physical battery in both versions. Tesla simply software locked the capability of the cheaper cars. 21% of the battery has been locked from the user in this case, meaning that they are still driving around with a battery that is 20% heavier with no immediate benefit. There is, however, the perk that the customers with the lower software locked battery can charge their cars to the stated 100% and still experience longevity benefits over the lifetime of the vehicle. Tesla is starting to take steps to launch the full self-driving beta in China, but there are likely some hurdles ahead. Earlier this year, Elon Musk visited Chinese officials where there were rumors that he was pushing to facilitate the launch of the beta program with the regulators. And now local media outlet 36KR reports that Tesla is currently hiring a new team to manage the rollout. Tesla is also hiring a team of data labelers in China to help train the neural nets on Chinese roads with different signs and infrastructure. According to the report, Tesla is looking to hire hundreds of those labelers. Now, in Electrek's take, this is going to be a tough hill to climb, and it very well could take a while, perhaps a year or more. Driving in China is a very different experience from Western countries, and one often overlooked aspect is that China's infrastructure is constantly under construction from the rapid technological expansion that the country is still experiencing. If they are not already, Tesla will likely have to share all of the data that it collects with the Chinese Communist Party, and if Tesla wasn't already cozy up until now, they certainly will be when the self-driving secret sauce gets in the hands of Xi Jinping. Fisker has announced that it will adopt Tesla's NACS connector as standard on their electric vehicles. Like other automakers who've made this move, Fisker says that the adoption will come in their electric vehicles starting in 2025, and that it has reached a deal with Tesla to use its supercharger network. Fisker says that it has this deal to provide adapters until they can actually get it inside their cars, which will be in the first quarter of 25. Now, this also coincides with the announcement timeline for Fisker's Pear crossover vehicle, and by that point, we're expecting a timeline on either the Ronin supercar or the Alaska truck. Both of those were tacked onto a presentation quite recently, and we are watching from the peanut gallery, anticipating their arrival. Rivian's new quad-motor R1S electric SUV just became the first production electric vehicle to tackle the Rubicon Trail, which is recognized as one of, if not the, most demanding off-road trails in North America. The famous trail is a rugged, rock-crawling, extreme driving experience. It features challenging obstacles that wear vehicles down as they climb up. The achievement marks a significant milestone not only for Rivian, but also for the broader EV community. The R1S was a quad-motor version, entirely stock, with 34-inch all-terrain tires. The only equipment that Rivian added was a set of steel rock sliders, front tow hitch receiver, and a roof rack. They seemed to have slid into home base as they entered the trail with around 80% charge and finished under 10%. The team says that it was still enough to reach a nearby Level 2 charger. Aside from some light cosmetic damage, no mechanical failures or tire changes were experienced during the run. EVgo has announced that Rivian's R1S and R1T owners can now use their AutoCharge Plus program. This feature is widely just called plug and charge. It means all you gotta do is plug in and the car will begin charging, and the software and monetary will be handled automatically. And with the addition of Rivian, there are now 30 eligible EVs for this program, including General Motors, Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Genesis, Mercedes, Polestar, Toyota, Tesla, Volvo, and some others. At the end of June, EVgo had over 3,200 DC fast charging stalls in operation or under construction in the U.S. That is pretty neat, but to give you a sense of scale, Tesla has about 17,000. Chinese automaker Geely has expanded its strategic partnership with Baidu. They are launching a new, what they're calling, premium intelligent EV brand called GUA. It's pretty much a rebranding of the company formerly known as Jidu, although Jidu will still exist. Geely now owns a 65% stake and will operate this under its own umbrella, while Baidu maintains a 35% minority stake. In the press release, the company shared its logo and their first vehicle, which is called the GUA-01, and both of these reworks are quite similar to the previous versions. A representative for Geely told Electrek that Jidu will continue to operate as a separate entity and as a technological facilitator for its successor brand called GUA. In today's community comment found on YouTube, AlexS360 says, "I think Fisker is setting itself up for failure, and we know they have a history, unfortunately. Now it's for planning too many models. Production hell? Rivian barely turned it around, and everybody wants one. They have only one model." Yeah, Alex S., I am inclined to agree in large part. I think that Fisker really is putting the game on hard mode if they expect to get three vehicles out the door at the same time, or at least the same calendar year. One big difference between Fisker and the trailblazers of Tesla and Rivian is that Fisker is not doing the production. As you may know, Magna International is physically making Fisker cars, and the Fisker company is just doing the design and branding. Now, with that in mind, it makes sense that they would throw out designs all at once, since all they have to do to make it happen is just generate plans and money. Now, if Fisker can drum up some investors for the new programs, then they can just purchase more production from Magna and continue that way. The vehicles definitely did generate a lot of buzz, but I think a part of me worries that it might be a bit much. Magna International, even with their huge experience and resources, are not immune to parts and battery shortages, and if Fisker can get the money, then they may have a lot of reservation holders waiting great lengths if parts are in short supply. Then again, if Fisker does have a huge contract, then maybe Magna can actually score those supplies, whereas if they were presented with a smaller contract, they couldn't. I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking out loud at this point. I think Fisker will definitely be walking the tightrope, and we'll see how it goes. Thanks for watching Quick Charge. I'm Mikey G, and I hope you have a great day.